All right, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Glen Ellyn School District 41 Finance and Facilities Committee, March 12th, 2012, here at Churchill School at 6:30. Would you please take a moment and review the minutes from February 27th board meeting? Dan and Steve, good?
Yeah, good.
Okay, the first order of business then this evening will be the 2012-13 copy paper bid results. We went out to bid on February 9th for copier paper for the upcoming fiscal year, the next school year. That bid opening was held on February 23rd. Four bids were received from vendors, and the low bid was submitted by Unisource at a price of $28.45, which is actually lower than the bid that was accepted for this year of $29.50. So we expect to experience some reductions in cost over what the paper costs were for the current fiscal year. This recommendation, we would like for the Finance Committee to support this recommendation. We'll take the board for discussion on April 9th, and then we'll move for board approval on April 23rd. Are there any questions?
This brand, or whatever we're speaking of, supports the policy for recycling?
Yes. Yeah, but that requirement to...
It's built into the bid document.
Bob, the brand, is that comparable to other papers, and it's comparable for photocopying? And
it's fine for our machines, for our Xerox machines.
Okay. It's what we currently use.
That's correct.
Well, this is the current brand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No problems at all?
We have not had any problems.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay. And the next order of business this evening will be the Hadley Junior High School yearbook printing recommendation. Again, we went out to bid on February 9th. Those bids were due back for the junior high yearbook. They were due back on February 23rd. We received bids from three different vendors: Life Touch National School Studios, Jostens, who is the incumbent, and HR Imaging. On your report that you have in front of you, you see the prices that were quoted for the next school year, 2013, 14, and 15. Under all three scenarios, Life Touch National Studios was the low bidder. We would look for support of moving this recommendation forward for the Finance Committee this evening, and we will be taking it to the board on April 9th for discussion, and then on April 23rd for action. Any questions?
This is a hardbound book. I assume it's a similar quality as the existing one.
Yeah, we had a meeting with those folks. Myself and Frank T. met with the representatives from Life Touch. They have agreed they're going to meet all the expectations or all the requirements as set forth in the bid. Frank seems more than happy and more than satisfied with our conversation. As a matter of fact, the lady who will be leading sort of the team for this project is a lifelong Glen Ellyn resident, and she has two kids who have in the past couple of years finished at Hadley, and one child who is still an eighth grader. So it's an opportunity to work with one of our community members too. But we've been assured that this will be as good a quality of publication as we currently have.
We use Life Touch. The elementary schools have used Life Touch, I believe, for their.
So we
have experience with this vendor. This is a well-known, many decades in the school business.
And about 10 or 12 years ago, they used to do the business until Jasmine's got his contract. So at one time, we did have a relationship with Life Touch.
How can they do this for so much less?
I asked the same question. You know, it's a bidding year. Everybody's in different situations. I know Justin's was not happy with it. They called me and sort of expressed their dissatisfaction. But you know, we go out for public bid, and I have to accept what they submit.
And this is a pure pass through. So.
This is a pure pass through, correct?
Okay.
Then the final order of business this evening will be the SmartBook subscription for the band and orchestra program. like to ask that Karen Carlson come up and just kind of walk you through her board report.
Our music is basically an online subscription, but Jim DePaulo, our band director at Hadley, kind of brought the pieces that with Chris and I, and this is actually a program that they looked at about 3 years ago, but kind of thought we really weren't ready for that at the time of that. So Jim has actually been using this. He has his own personal kind of teacher subscription, so he's been playing around with it for a while, and he did a demonstration to all of the administrators at the ad committee, and he will be coming to the April board meeting as well to do a demonstration, because reading about it and talking about it really doesn't do it justice until you see it. But it's actually a very cool, interactive way, and it's both an opportunity for kids to practice, and I think an incentive to get kids to practice probably more.
Just bring the instrument home.
So that can be a challenge in and of itself, but it's just an opportunity where the teachers can assign specific pieces that the kids would practice. They kind of log in, they can go through it many times, see your head, not in your head, you see.
No, but
And parents can elect to just kind of get the subscription on their own, and some of our parents have it, Jim had mentioned. But it allows them to have an accompaniment, or it's just them playing, but it records them, and they can do it over and over again, and it gives them that immediate feedback. They know which notes they can play, which ones they play correctly. They can even adjust the speed if they're struggling with the piece, or if they're doing well, and kind of go faster, those kinds of things. And then when they feel like they are happy with their piece, they basically kind of let the teacher know, and they can view that assessment. They can actually listen to it, or they can just look at the data around how well, or not so well, that the child may have done. And it's both band and orchestra. It actually has just come out with a chorus feature. We're just looking at band and orchestra at this point in time. And so how they foresee kind of using it is obviously as a practice mechanism, but then from an assessment. Jim mentioned to us, you know, it's great. He a lot of times gets to schedule one-on-one time for kids to come in and play when he's doing a formal assessment. This gives him that additional opportunity where he can go in and listen to see how they can then use that as an assessment tool. And then not to mention the feedback that the kids get. And he can send them feedback through the system as well. So Jim will be here at the April meeting to kind of do a demo so you kind of have a sense of what it is. We have talked about, do we just start 6 through 8? This proposal is actually for 4th through 8th graders. I think it might be interesting to see how 4th and 5th really do it. I do think it's a strong kind of incentive for kids. We know some of our kids may have limited access. And so, you know, in Hadley, we already talked about finding opportunities maybe through like Wildcat Way workshop that they could maybe come in and do some of this after school. So we'll explore some of those options as well. And it is a per student subscription, and the $27 per student reflects anything over 500 students. It was a discounted rate there. And then the kids will have to invest in a microphone that connects to their instrument. Jim talked a little bit about sometimes computers or laptops will have a microphone, but really without attaching it to get the best sound, it's probably a good investment for $50. And you can use it with a PC or Apple products as well. We talked about the future. I think they are working on developing an app, but they're not there yet.
Yeah, they said cell phone. Every kid will have a cell phone, might not have a laptop. Yeah.
So we think that that might be, you know, another alternative kind of down the road. That's kind of where we're at. The teachers who, one of the workshops they attended this year at a conference was around smart music, so they've all been exposed to it. There is a level of teacher commitment because you do have to spend time with assigning these tasks as well as from the investment perspective. But in through the workshop and then having seen the product, they all seem pretty excited about it and are willing to kind of get that time for the learning opportunity for them and for the students as well.
Jim also mentioned that it would be a great tool to use during teaching periods when he can be working with a small group. Did you already say that you mean?
No, I didn't.
And then the larger band could be practicing and self-monitoring. So it gives him a little bit more flexibility during his day as well to meet with the smaller groups of students. Even though we've arranged the schedule now, so it's like groups are you know, having sectionals together, it'll give them a chance to do some smaller experiences. The other neat feature is that the kids can set the speed of the accompaniment. So as they're just learning a piece, you know, they can kind of go slowly, and so it's not dissimilar to some of our, like MAP, where it adjusts for your ability level. They have the ability to not just have it at one speed. They can kind of adjust it to meet their learning needs.
Jim talked a little bit, too, about having a parent night to bring them in. He said he's used his with some of the kids, and they've caught on very quickly. But just to kind of demo so that they know it, because they have a way to log in and things like that, and then figure out a way for them to be able to purchase those microphones as well.
Okay. Have we heard from other districts that have used this technology, and where are they with, you know, how do they like it?
Well, Jim just had a personal experience. His daughter is a music teacher, and she uses the product, and she's a fourth grade teacher, and she's used for over a year. And Jim has had, you know, I haven't contacted the district to see if they've been satisfied in that. 87 has looked at it. They're not ready to kind of move forward with it. But Jim has a network of people who use the product. And he himself bought his own subscription this year and has just been using it.
Well, at the convention, they talked to districts that were using it.
Right, and I know Jim has. But they'll, you know, make sure that they would connect. Because I asked Jim, you know, how are other districts kind of funding it?
The coursework that they do, is it really grade focused, or is it more on whatever piece? You know, I'm trying to think, like, are they working on rhythm, or just are there specific lessons, or is it the piece he's working on with the band, that's the person that's practicing?
It would be I would say that would be more specific pieces that they're working on, although kids can go in and select other music that's in there and practice, and if they just want to learn. I mean, even if, you know, they had another instrument at home that they're not necessarily working on, beyond that, with there, they can play around with that as well. So it's specific to a lot of their music that they're working on, and then that they could choose other pieces. And because he's got the different levels of band, it would be important that it would be a piece.
And there are like thousands of pieces out there, aren't there?
Correct. And yeah. They're adding to it every year.
Yeah, that's the licensing
is an issue, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, yeah, it gives you a lot more variety than, you know. Mm-hmm.
They could, I mean, Jim could do a targeted lesson, though, like on rhythm or...
I just went to their website.
Tuning.
Yeah, it looks like you need to bring up the score, and then as you play, it, historically it shows you in green or red
right. What
notes you maybe right. earlier, later, out of tune.
Right. So as you play, it tells you whether you're doing it correctly. And when Jim demonstrates it, he'll do both.
Right.
He'll play incorrectly for you, and he'll play correctly. I'm sorry.
Guitar is probably a little bit more sophisticated than guitar.
Well, it's more like guitar here. Yeah, ones that you sing to. Some of those, they'll tell you how your pitch is.
Right.
But so he could target lessons to a kid. Say, do this piece. I want you to focus on rhythm.
So then that leads to my favorite question: can kids then do high school pieces if they so desire? You know, is this just up to 8th grade, or is there...
Oh, no. The level of difficulty.
Yeah. I think there's just one subscription.
There's one subscription, yeah. But it would be all different types of music. Yeah.
There's like thousands of songs.
Okay. Like beginner music would be in there all the way up to very sophisticated.
Is there an initial fee, or is it just this is what we would pay every year? That we
pay? That's a subscription fee.
I think you'll be impressed when you see it. Of course, you'll have to try to separate Jim's enthusiasm from your, you know, analytical discerning.
Because recorders, so we can try.
You probably could. He'll probably bring his trumpet, so you could try.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you.
And I did want to mention that this is going to the Finance Committee on Board on April 9th for discussion, and then the 23rd is when we bring it for action. So that's all the business that we have on the finance agenda for this evening. Any other questions, comments, concerns, things you might want to just talk about in the next upcoming meetings?
You know, if we have a little time, and we do, you received an email from me last night, where I just highlighted a couple issues that we were that have been happening since I sent my Thursday letter, and one of those was going back and exploring the idea of how might we create 21st century classrooms in a way that's cost effective. And I don't know if we could just provide you a little insight into the conversation that we had at Cabinet. As you know, we're building out our 2-year plan for the long range plan, and so we've been talking about, John, and you, I think, also raised it, Dan, are there things that we can do to our current facilities that wouldn't be cost prohibitive but would allow us to make some changes in our classrooms to reflect sort of the resource areas that we want, what might a room look like if you could create it into a lab setting, that sort of thing. And so we've just been bantering a little bit ourselves, really inspired and stimulated by the work of the think tank that Karen's been leading, and some of the ideas that are being generated there. And so I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, but we actually were thinking, gee, should we target a portable and see what you could do with a portable? Target a four or five arena, and then target a primary, maybe in 3 different schools or 4, whatever, whatever we thought we could do. There are some significant limitations to some of the schools, obviously, by virtue of their design or their age. And but there are some key ideas that are emerging from the think tank that we feel like it would be great if we could, in fact, do something that would physically represent what a new school might look like, or really highlight what the limitations within our own schools might be if we don't do, some significant renovations even within them. So I don't know if you have ideas or thoughts about that, or how you feel about us moving forward on that note.
Yeah, I thought it was great. That's the kind of, I'm always a blue sky sort of brainstorming innovation thing. Mm-hmm. So I was excited to hear that, what can we do, and if there's any thoughts or proposals you want, we'd love to hear concepts.
Well, I think we'll see some emerge this spring, mostly with instructional ideas. And so, as I said in the email, I'd like to be able to let form follow function and let some of the instructional ideas be laid out next year and experimented with, and they may inform us as to what we might do within the facilities that we have. We have a couple classrooms that have the collapsible walls, and so that might be a great area to look, because what can you do if you can take the wall out, even temporarily? Then are there things that would help us create a picture of what another kind of room or what a lab setting would be like. Obviously, we'll struggle with, if we do that, what are the space implications in terms of where do kids go who may have to be displaced. But, and then the idea that we've talked about where you have a pod of four rooms and every room maybe has a different function and kids travel in that pod, so that gives you some ability to create some new things. So anyways, we got really excited talking about it, and I know Karen's group, and she may want to even speak to that a little bit, have been very, very excited about the work they're doing.
Well, this whole facility is kind of one whole area that's come up that the group feels like it's important that we have that conversation,
that conversation has in fact just confined to the elementary school. We've also had a couple of meetings overhead in terms of what we might do with that space, in particular the library area and the surrounding labs. So we're not just sort of confining ourselves to elementary school, but trying to look at a concept of what the 21st century is going to look at, both the elementary school, schools, and the junior high level.
Yeah, actually, the Hadley LLC will have, I think there's a general call for participation, isn't there, Karen, to participate in rethinking the Library Media Center at Hadley. And when you think about that space, it's a great space. I mean, it's a large space, and it's a gateway to the courtyard. And thinking about what we could do to enhance it, what we could do to create different project areas, I mean, so that would probably be a place we might even, you know, we'll probably, again, think to do in 2013-14.
In the summer of 2013.
Yeah. So, again, develop the constructs for learning and then experiment with the structures, the facilities to see how they can accommodate that.
A presentation to finance or the board?
Well, I think we're not far enough along yet to do a presentation. We'll be doing, the think tank will be presenting its ideas to the full board in the spring.
Okay.
And I think what I'd like to see happen is that perhaps, you know, you and Steve are kind of liaisons, so to work with us to start to shape some of those ideas and then determine how best to present them and where and, you know.
I'm excited by the innovation that's coming out of think tank. So
yeah,
I'm welcome that. So.
And I think it will align really well with some of your longer term planning around facility. That, you know, a referendum was as much as, you know, that's a topic we, you know, like, oh gosh, when? But we know that it's a couple years out, and having some very specific and concrete facility ideas to share with the public that are accompanied by changes in the learning environment could be very exciting. And I think, you know, building that kind of step-by-step pathway to your facilities is, you know, very doable. It's getting to be pretty concrete in our own heads.
Yeah. And I think we find in this district historically, especially facilities, is people really want to understand it, touch it, feel it, you know, they're very connected to what exactly does this mean. And so, you know, it's important if we can do that to lay out a roadmap for them, then that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be lots of opportunity for input on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what you do, but, you know, I think the primary facilities issue is still portables aren't long-term solutions.
Okay.
and I don't want to get too much going where people think, well,
you can make it do with it.
You're really just wanting to update everything, you know? And it's like, no, we need a brick and mortar facility.
Right.
That's a long-term solution.
Right. Well, we actually talked about, if you choose a portable to set up that environment, would you be encouraging someone to think about, well, then you don't need a brick and mortar solution. But even if you set something up in there, the fact remains it's not a permanent solution,
right,
no matter what. So as long as we had a little time, I just thought I would highlight that, since it that came out in an email.
Another item.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to check the file, kind of find out where we're at in terms of the advisory.
The advisory group. Well, actually, we haven't done anything with the advisory, and I was going to suggest that given some of our other work and given some of the work that the board must undertake in the next 14 months, 13 months, is it something that you think should be reserved for the new superintendent to initiate so that it's not, a brand new thing that has to be implemented next year with the multiple projects that the board has to undertake next year?
I would like to see it started sooner. If we're going to get a level of buy-in that we need to reach, I think, is what we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that better. But that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dan or Steve have an opinion on that.
On what?
A financial advisory, in whether to, given the projects, the priorities that the board will have next year, is this something that should wait a year and let the new superintendent initiate, or is it something we should go ahead and go through and maintain our timeline for next year, or for this starting this summer?
Sync with the things that are going on and not looking to come in and radically change everything.
Yeah, I think it's still a good idea to keep going forward.
Okay. Then what would be a good timeline for us to report back to you? Maybe a roster of potential names and...
Well, the next finance committee meeting is in April.
Okay.
Is that basically a month? Is that realistic?
Yeah, there are two meetings in April, so it's either the 9th or the
first or second meeting.
My preference would be the first, but certainly not the second. I think that's
start
realistic?
The second concept Anything else you care to discuss this evening, then? Then we will conclude this evening's meeting and start again for the board meeting at about 7:30 then. Thank you.